Today, the parents of Michael Brown, the African-American shot by a white police officer in Ferguson, Missouri, filed a wrongful death lawsuit against that city, Police Chief Thomas Jackson, and Darren Wilson, the officer who shot Brown. Meanwhile, in Cleveland, Ohio, the sheriff continues to investigate the police shooting of 12-year-old Tamir Rice. Today, our series, Tracking Race Relations, called Tracking Lincoln, takes us to Cleveland as we follow the route of the slain president's funeral train 150 years ago. It traveled through cities like Baltimore and Philly on the way to Springfield. On April 28th, the train pulled into Cleveland.
Punctually, at 7 o'clock, the funeral train arrived at the Union Depot on the Lakeshore track. The streets were almost totally blocked up with the immense crowds.
Part of an article published the next day in the Cleveland Plain Dealer and read here by the group Cleveland Historical. The president, of course, was known for his effort to keep the Union together during the Civil War and for the Emancipation Proclamation, which called for the end of slavery. As Here and Now's Peter O'Dowd reports, Lincoln's legacy is still relevant in Cleveland.
150 springs after President Lincoln was carried into this city, the trees are blooming pink as candy in the park where Tamir Rice was killed by police.
It just doesn't feel right. It's just uncomfortable to sit here and, like, all his teddy bears and candles are, like, right there. It's so close.
Angelique McGuire is a high school student who lives a few blocks from here. We're at a park table memorial for the 12-year-old who was shot in November. Tamir was playing with an airsoft pellet gun. A police cruiser pulled up, and seconds later, he was dying. The officer said he fired as Tamir reached for the replica pistol in his waistband.
I feel like I'm in a movie, honestly, truthfully.
5 months later, the wound is still fresh for Samaria Rice. Her son and that park have become symbols in this country that represent the chasm between police and the black community. Last year, it was Tamir Rice in Cleveland, Eric Garner in Staten Island, Michael Brown in Ferguson. Now it's Walter Scott in North Charleston, South Carolina, Freddie Gray in Baltimore. Rice says getting added to that list was a jarring experience.
I was actually pushed in this situation that I'm definitely never was prepared for. It's difficult. It's a lot of days that I really don't know how I'm going to get by, but the comfort of knowing that there is a God out there kind of keeps me focused and settled in my mind.
When you see these new cases coming out in other cities, what do you think is going on in this country?
Sometimes, I don't want to really think that it's racism, but, I just keep seeing the same thing over and over again, and I'm wondering, where are they getting these officers from? Like, where are they coming from? I mean, are they passing a test?
People were asking questions about police in Cleveland before Tamir Rice was shot. In December, the Justice Department issued a scathing report that said inadequate training and lack of accountability led to a pattern of excessive force. Mayor Frank Jackson says the scrutiny will lead to lasting reforms. Here he is at his State of the City address this year.
This challenge, to me, is a major challenge, but it is what we do as a city. Cleveland is used to hard times. Hard times is what we do.
By the end of the year, the city says all 1,500 of its officers will be wearing body cameras. Police have received further training in first aid, CPR, and crisis intervention. And the city says it's searching for an independent monitor to keep tabs on the department as part of its agreement with the Justice Department. But it's not enough for Samaria Rice. She says she's waiting for the officers involved in her son's shooting to be punished. And that investigation is still ongoing.
That's where it will start with me. I don't care nothing about no money. I'd rather have my son before anything. I need a conviction. And that's where my healing process will begin.
This is a 12-year-old boy. It's hard to heal from this.
The city's Blaine Griffin runs Cleveland's Community Relations Board. He's been busy smoothing distrust between police and residents. Like many cities across the country, Cleveland's police force is not as diverse as the community it serves. And Griffin says the tension isn't just about one shooting.
Cleveland is just a microcosm of America.
He says it's about disparity in economic opportunity for people who live in different parts of the city. Differences in access to health care. Differences in education.
We see this as something to make us look at ourselves in the mirror and see how we can look at these endemic problems of race and bias. We see this as an opportunity.
What do you think, 150 years after Abraham Lincoln, what do you think he would say if he visited Cleveland today?
I think Lincoln represented exactly what's going on in America today. How do you take people with different philosophies, different mindsets that are all part of this great country that we call America and create the most perfect union? So I would think that Lincoln was saying that the work is continuing on building that perfect union. We're not there yet. I cannot be cocky to say that we'll ever get there, but I can say what Lincoln would say that's going on now is that people are still making America, making Cleveland, making our city a perfect union.
I asked that same question to Daisha Acevedo outside her home on Cleveland's west side.
He wouldn't be proud of what he was seeing in my community. I don't know about this, but not in my community.
Acevedo is a 20-year-old college student and a volunteer for a group called the New Abolitionist Association. This neighborhood is mostly Latino and low-income, and ever since the shooting, Acevedo says she's changed her behavior. She's careful at night not to wear hooded sweatshirts. She keeps her hands outside her pockets.
Something's different about the way when I go out in the streets.
But Acevedo is also hopeful. Since the Rice shooting, her group has been calling for broader police reforms and tougher civilian oversight. Acevedo uses her love for music and poetry to help young people voice their frustration about what's happened here.
Hold on just a little while longer. Hold on just a little while longer. Hold on just a little while longer. And
hold on, she says. Change is coming. For Here and Now, I'm Peter O'Dowd in Cleveland.
And everything's gonna be